This morning, I want to share some simple principles with you as it relates to the subject of prayer. Last Sunday, I began sharing with you from a passage of Scripture, the Gospel of Luke, the 18th chapter. And the first verse. I didn't proceed further past that point, and I don't think I'm going to proceed past that point today. The passage says, the Lord spoke a parable unto them to this end, for a particular purpose, to this end, meaning that this was the goal, meaning that this was the beginning and the ending of it. This is the objective of it. And it was this, that men ought always to what? Pray. And not to what? And in essence, if we concluded that if you're not praying, you are fainting. If you're not praying, you are going to faint. There's no ifs or buts about that. Sunday night, I proceeded further in addressing the issue of what causes people to faint. And part of that was the fact that people faint because they were not getting answers from God, or they fainted because they were asking amiss, or they were asking for their own selfish end, and therefore they did not get the results. And I shared certain principles with you that I get not able to rehearse again this morning, or else I'll be stuck at those points. But this morning I want to go a little bit further. And I want to start firstly looking at the book of 2 Samuel chapter 7 and verse 27. And you may say, Pastor, why are you starting at that particular spot? Because if you and I are going to experience answers to our prayers, it must be in line with what God is already saying or has said. In 2 Samuel 7 and verse 27, it says, for thou, O Lord of hosts, God of Israel, hast revealed to thy servant, someone say with me, has revealed. Say it again, has revealed. to thy servant. Saying, I will build thee an house. Say this word now. Therefore. Say it again. Therefore. One more time. Therefore. Hath thy servant found in his heart to do what? To pray. Has found in his heart to what? Pray. Has found in his heart to what? Pray. This prayer unto thee. I have found in my heart to pray this prayer unto you. Why? Because, God of Israel, you reveal to your servant. Are you with me so far? The boldness to pray comes from revelation. Knowing what is happening. Today, our dear son in the Lord and daughter shared their testimony, how they came into this country and all the difficulties that tried to waylay them and impede them and shut them out. But the real answer is found in knowing what was happening in the realm of the Spirit. Inquiring of the Lord, hearing what God has to say, and connecting with that will. Not coming up with our own ideas, but lining up with what God is saying. And if that meant a change of government just for them, then there's going to be a change of government just for them. And after that, a change of government back. Hello. Whatever it is that needs to be done, God will change the rules just because of you. But you need to know that God is changing the rules just because of you, so that you can agree with the changing of the rules and say, God, just as you have revealed, do for me. Amen? But you don't go changing the rules when God has not changed the rules already in heaven. Let thy kingdom come and your will be done here in the earth as it is in heaven. Amen. Huh? Listen. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. What does that tell you? That the will of God is happening in heaven. With or without you. God's will is happening. There's a will of God concerning you, concerning your family, concerning your relationships, concerning your finances, concerning your health, that's happening in heaven already. Now, you need to tap into what's happening there and manifest it here. Because the will of God in heaven is good. Somebody say it's good. You are rich in heaven. Amen. You are healthy in heaven. Amen. Hello. Is somebody listening yet? Yes. You have the best home. Yes. The best car. Yes. The best bicep and tricep. Hallelujah. You know. Everything about you is good. It is the will of God in heaven. Amen. God has already answered any prayer you want to pray. Already in heaven, before you prayed it, he answered it. You know why he answered it? He answered it because he's an altogether good God and doesn't wish for you anything that is evil. So everything is good. Hallelujah. Do you believe it?
Yes.
Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. As it is in heaven, so let it happen in the earth. Are you with me? If you don't understand that, then you're going to pray faithless prayers. The Word of God says to us, now while this passage I want to go to now seems to be just earth-focused and earth-centered, there is a heavenly perspective to it. In Matthew chapter 18, beginning to read from verse 18, the Word of God tells us, Matthew 18 and verse 18. It says, verily I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever ye shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Again, I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. If any two of you shall agree on earth, any two. Now, what if it's just me? If I'm just by myself, who am I going to agree with? Well, I tell you what. When Jesus came, he came into your heart. Your first point of agreement is with the one who lives inside of you. Amen? Because people can be flaky. People can tell you, I'm with you. And they are so far away from you. But there's one that you know will stick with you no matter what, is the Lord himself. Amen? Hallelujah. If you agree with him, if you agree with his word, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. If you agree with the word of God concerning anything, it's going to be done. No matter what, no matter how difficult, no matter who says it is done, it is finished, there's no way this is going to happen, God is God. Amen? I said, God is what? God. He's not a man that lies. He is God. And he is not limited by anything or by anyone. Hallelujah. 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 He says, if we come to a place of agreement, God answers. God answers. Now, prior to that statement, it says in the 18th verse, again, in the 18th verse, it makes this statement. Verily I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatever it is that you lose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Now, this is a reverse to the first statement we talked about. Because we know that there's a will of God and that will is perfect. But now God is telling us something else. He's saying, I have a perfect will for you and I'm going to bless you. If you come into agreement with me, things are going to happen in your life. But then he says, whatever it is that you bind here in the earth shall also be bound in heaven. Now, if we're just reading it from the English as we are reading it now and do not know the original language and what the original language is saying, then we miss the point, because what it really says, whatever it is that you bind on earth, having been bound. So now it doesn't lose a point. Whatever it is that you are binding in here is something that is already bound. And whatever it is that you loose here is something that is already loose. So now I need to know what it is that God has bound and how God bound it. Hello? Are you with me? I need to know what God has bound and how he bound it. What God loosed and how he loosed it. Now, I digress just for a moment, because this is a particular verse that is used wrongly when people pray. They pray something like this. I bind this thing in the name of Jesus and I loose the power of God. I loose the power of the Holy Spirit. Ooh, you just messed up your prayer. Because that word loose there is the word luo. It's a Greek word luo, and it means to dissolve something. It means to annihilate, to eradicate something. So whatever it is that you dissolve or eradicate or remove on earth shall be also removed or dissolved. Now, you just prayed, I loose the power of God. I destroy the power of God. Now, how are you going to get an answer to prayer? You just prayed, I bind something, and now confusion. My people perish because of a lack of knowledge. Amen? You're not losing the power of God. No. You are losing from the person the mindset that can keep them continually in bondage. You say, Pastor, what do you mean? How many of you have watched old Western movies before? You've watched Western movies. So you know about horses, you know, they break this bronco and they put reins on it, and they come, this cowboy rides, you know, to town, and he just throws the rope over a piece of stick, and the horse stays there. Why? Why are you staying there? Well, because it's been broken. It's there because it has been trained in its thinking, because it used to be that in the past, when it tried to escape, the rope almost choked it. So now it thinks every time they throw something over a stick, it's going to choke. It is the mindset of a prisoner, a criminal thrown into prison, and he's in prison. He's been there for 20 years. He comes out, and what do you think? He has a mentality of the prisoner, and the chances are he's going to break another law and get back into prison. Are you with me so far? Loosing is about loosing that person's mind from the mentality that kept them in bondage in the first place. So when we are loosing people, we are declaring the name of Jesus Christ, that whatever it is that has affected your mind, affected your person, and trained you to keep you in the state of limitation, that thing be eradicated so that you can now walk in the freedom that God has ordained for you. Walk in freedom, take flight, run and not be weary, walk and don't faint. Somebody shout hallelujah. If you have not been loosed in your mind, you will go into debt. And while you're in debt and you come out from that debt, you go back into that hole. Because you think the only way to live your life is by being in debt. Oh, but I hate it. Oh no, you don't hate it until you refuse to be held bondage to that thing. Do you understand? So there's got to be a change in your thinking. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind so that you can prove that which is God's good, acceptable, and perfect will. It happened because you renewed in the spirit of your mind. If you have the mentality of poverty, you cannot experience prosperity. Hello? Your thinking's got to change. Praise the Lord. The thinking has to what? Change. You are not going to be successful in a diet program until the thinking changes. Something changes so that you don't go back. After you've lost the 20 pounds or the 100 pounds, after you've tied up everything and done all the surgery, do all the surgery, if your mind is not correct, you will blow all the... You will bust your tummy, the new tummy you got. It's going to be a mess. You got to be changing your mind. Praise the Lord. The thinking's got to change. That's getting loose. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. God answers prayers. He does. He says, if any two of you shall agree, it's going to be done. I need agreement. Praise God. Someone say, agreement. There's a power in agreement. The passage of scripture that Mama led us to read today in Psalm 133. How good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the oil of the oil of unction, the oil of anointing that was on the head of Aaron that ran down to his caps. Unity, agreement. God said that when people were in agreement, there's nothing they cannot accomplish. Did he not? Nothing shall be impossible to them. And that God is saying, listen, if you two come into agreement, I am going to honor your power of agreement, and I'm going to bring about what it is that you're asking for. Now, watch this now. Watch this. You better be careful what you're agreeing with. Because God has committed himself to say amen. Don't agree with what is evil, because evil shall come your way. Don't agree with it. Don't agree with that which is negative, because that negativity shall manifest itself and trail you until it hunts you down. You must agree with the word of God. And Jesus says, it is written. I'm not going to agree with you. It is written. Well, it is written also, if you cast yourself off from that pinnacle, God is going to send his angels and take charge of you. You're not going to fall. I know that is written. But you're not going to tempt me. And you're not going to tell me what I'm going to do and how I'm going to do it and when I'm going to do it. No, I'm not going to give you control over my life. Praise the Lord. I'm going to agree with what God said, but I will never agree with you, devil. Not even if you quote the Bible. You didn't hear what I said. I said, I will never agree with you, devil, not even if you quote the Bible. Let me say it again. I will never agree with you, devil, not even if you quote the Bible. Who are you agreeing with? And what are you agreeing with? Because that's going to manifest itself because of the power of agreement. You agree with the devil or his cohorts? You agree with your banker that you will never make it? Well, that's exactly what's going to happen. You agreed with it. They told his son, it's time for you to go. Then what are we going to do? As they sit down there, we're not going to agree with that. Whose report are you going to believe? Huh? I don't care which lawyer, which prime minister, which whoever has determined whatever. If I'm not in agreement with it, I have the authority to agree with God for a change. Somebody listening? The one you want to agree with is with God. What God said, not what the doctor said, not what the nurse said, not what the banker said, not what the politician said, not what your father, your mother, your brother, your sister, your whoever said. If it is not in agreement with something you found in the word of God, you say no to that devil and you say yes to the word of God. Yeah. That is not my portion. I refuse that. Oh, we found out that you got cancer and you're going to die in 3 months. That's your story. I got another report. By his stripes, I am healed. I shall live and not die and testify of the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. You say, how many months did you say? 3 months. In three months, one day, I'm going to be having a celebration service. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I am going to overcome you and your words, because your words do not count. not in my kingdom, and my kingdom is in his kingdom, and in his kingdom there is no death.
Amen.
I'm not going to die until I'm satisfied. Amen. Hallelujah. As long as I have work to do, no dying. Glory to God. Amen. 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 What are you agreeing with? What is it that you are holding on to? Your circumstance? It's a lie. Something is wrong in your marriage and you've already given up on it. Is that what God said? Well, but you don't know what he's doing to me, what she's doing to me. Well, I don't know. But God can turn a bad situation around. He's done it before. And why do you think you're a special case? Have you ever been with people who argue about how bad their situation is? This person says, oh, this is what's happening. Is that all? Let me tell you my story. You say, I didn't tell you the rest of it. Let me tell you. Why are we competing about whose story is worse? What's the point? Really, what's the point? Oh, you should see my children. They are terrible. You know what I'm saying? thank God that you have children. What's the point? Why do you and I fret and worry about so much? And there's so much that we're worrying about is so little. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 17, amongst one of the shortest verses in the Bible, Paul says, pray without ceasing. Don't stop praying. Don't stop praying. But I'm not getting any results. Don't stop praying. But it's taking too long. Don't stop praying. The other day, I was coming down Main Street, and I came by the red light, and I decided to go off on the side street and come back to the light and dash off. And by the time I turned around and made my turn, the light was green. I thought, I would have been ahead if I just stayed there. That's what don't stop praying means. You stop praying and you try to do something else. What are you wasting the time for? Just stick with God. Stick with God and stick with God. That's all you need to do. Just stick with God. He can cause things to happen for you that you cannot explain. Amen? You cannot explain. How did I? Do you know how many times I've been stuck? I thought, oh, this is it. This got to be it. Because I don't see any way out of this. And I'm still here. How did I get here from there? God. You understand? God. Someone say G-O-D.
G-O-D.
God. God is not a dog. Might have the same letters. But God doesn't return to vomit. Amen? Praise the Lord. God delivers. God sets free. God redeems. God saves. God blesses. God elevates. God promotes. God establishes. God catapults you into your destiny. He's on your side. So I say, God is on my side. And if God is for me, who can be against me? Nobody. Huh? Nobody. Nobody can stop you when you are in agreement with God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. In Matthew chapter 7, beginning to read from verse 7, Matthew 7, beginning to read from verse 7. The Lord says to us, in very simple words, ask and it shall be given you. Ask and it shall be what? Given you. Seek and you will what? Find. Knock and it shall be what? Opened unto you. Ask, seek, knock. It works out very perfectly here because A-S-K, A, ask, S, seek, K, knock. The point is this, ask. Amen? Just what? Ask. What is so difficult about that? What is the worst thing that's going to happen when you ask? No. Or you might just get a yes. But you serve a God who is merciful. His loving kindness and his tender mercies abide forever. A God who forgives. Let me tell you something. God will not ask you to do anything that he doesn't ask of himself first. God is not going to ask you to forgive 70 times 70 or 70 times 7 in one day if he cannot do it. Hello? Yes. You must be a real big multiplied times a billion times sinner to be sinning 70 times 7 times a day and asking for forgiveness that much. God, simply, the point is God is willing to forgive you and has given you access so you can ask and you can come boldly. He says if you confess your sins, he is faithful and he is just to forgive every sin and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Come, let us reason together. Come. It's an invitation from God. Oh, I'm so bad. And God says, shut up already. How bad did you get? I'm gooder than your bad. Hallelujah. Now that does not mean that we continue in sin so that grace may abound. God forbid. God gives us the power to walk free by his unction and anointing to walk victoriously and demonstrate his goodness on a daily basis. Amen? You say, Pastor, what are you saying? I'm saying God has granted you access. Yes, my sin, your sin, separates you from God. And true as that is, this also is true, that God has created a caveat. And the caveat is this, that when you ask for forgiveness, if you confess your sins, he is faithful and he will always open. Confession, coming into agreement with what God says, will always open the door. If you are proud and arrogant, and you do not acknowledge your sin, and do not acknowledge your fault, you do not acknowledge that you are wrong, then child of God, I can assure you, you will never have access to God. The door is shut. You have to acknowledge it. God, I blew it. I got myself involved in idolatry, and God, things are happening in my life that should not. I come before you right now, forgive me for the mistake. I was going for power. I was going for some kind of honor. I was going for some kind of a name. And I set you aside and I went for whatever it is I was going for. God, forgive me. And God will say, I forgive you. Let's start afresh. This day, today is the day of salvation. Amen? Today. Praise the Lord. So don't get stuck on yesterday and what happened yesterday, good, bad, or ugly. Paul said, this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, I press. Whether it was bad stuff, good stuff, whatever, don't get stuck because God has better things. Amen? Don't be fooling around with the pebbles when God has big nuggets for you. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. So it says, ask. For everyone that asketh. How many people are those? Everyone that asketh, receive it. Oh, wait a minute. Wait. Everyone that asketh, receive it. But if you're double-minded, don't think you receive anything from God. Is there a conflict? No. Because everyone that asketh is the one that God heard. You can be asking and God doesn't hear because you're not asking in what? Faith. Everyone that asketh, in other words, everyone that asketh in faith is going to receive. But who is it that asketh in faith? The one who speaks the language of faith, comes into agreement with the word of God. That's a person. And he that seeketh, findeth. You'll find me if you seek me with all of your heart. God's word says. With all of your heart. Let me try this. Oh, yes. Why are you trying it? You trying it just to taste and then let me try something else? Or are you making a commitment to come and say, you know, I've tried everything else, nothing has worked, but I'm going to stick with God. What is it? If you seek, you're going to find. If you knock, the door of opportunities will be open to you. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. This is God's determined will. He said, what man is there of you, whom if his son asks bread, will give him a stone? If he asks bread, does he give him a stone? No. What I've learned from God is this, that there are things I've asked for based on my natural thought, and I'm so thankful he did not answer that way because he had a better idea for me. So God says in Ephesians 3:20, he makes this remarkable statement. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. He does what? Exceeding abundantly above all that we what? Ask or what we think. God says, if you can think it, I'll match you, I'll supersede you, I'll top you, I'll do far more than you. This gives God the opportunity when you are asking for bread and the bread that you are asking for is one little crumb, that he will do more than that. He'll give you a big loaf. I was sharing with somebody the other day, you know, about how we used to eat bread in Nigeria when I was back there. I don't know how they eat it now, but the same? It has not changed. You get everybody with their big loaf. This little slice thing that you guys do over here. What is that? You say, I'm eating bread. You bring the big loaf. For one person, you say, one person? You go to Perkins, they give you a little slice and toast it. What is that? Go toast the whole thing. Well, that's God. God is not a slice God. Hallelujah. Bless the name of the living God. You want to eat? Sit down. Let me feed you. Hallelujah. When God starts feeding you, you get tired. Say, God, give me a break. Are you ready? So you shake you and say, shake all the stuff into the right position. Say, eat some more. Glory be to God. The Lord God is faithful. Do you believe that? He has things in store for you. Hallelujah. But how does that happen? According to the power that worketh in us. Oh, go back to verse 18. And hear what God is saying. In verse 18, he says, Paul is praying that God may be able to, that you and I may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height. And verse 19, and to know the love of Christ, to know the love of what? Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. God says, I want you to know my love. And this love, when you know it, it passes all knowledge. It supersedes every knowledge that you have so that you can be filled with all the fullness of God. That is the power that worketh in you. The fullness of God. The fullness of God. Someone say the fullness of God. Do you think God wants to do anything and he fails at it? No? Then you must counsel failure out of your life. I must counsel failure out of my life. And I, in the place of failure, will now say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Christ who strengthens me based on what? The love of Christ. The love of Christ. Someone say the love of Christ. The love of Christ, which passeth knowledge. Praise the Lord. Are you with me so far? We're talking about prayer and getting results from prayer. Now let's begin to land this plane. Because I'm not going to be able to share everything that I need to share with you this morning, but let's begin the process of landing. John chapter 15 and verse 7. The Gospel of John 15. John 15 and verse 7. The Lord says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, say it with me, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, one more time. You shall ask what you what? Will, and it shall be done unto you. It did not say, and it should be done. It says, it shall Based on what? If you abide in me. If you abide in me and my words abide in you. If you abide in me and my words abide in you. If you abide in me and my words abide in you. If you stay in me and my words stay in you. If you dwell in me and my words dwell in you. You shall ask what you will. Okay. All right. How does this work? What does that mean? Verse 10. If you keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love. You might know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge. If you keep my commandments, my words, my instructions, you shall abide in my love. Even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. The Lord says, abiding in him means obedience. It's not just staying, it's obedience. Because you can say, well, I've been going through a rough patch and I'm abiding, I'm staying here, I'm still a Christian. I didn't become a Buddhist or a Hindu or a Muslim or whatever. I'm still a Christian. And you think that's abiding. No, God says abiding means obedience. You keep my words. You obey my instructions. You obey my instructions. Now, that obedience of instruction is not just, well, God says, thou shalt not steal, and I'm not stealing. That's not all it is. It is also about the instruction that God gives to you when he reveals to you what it is that he's going to do. The prophetic statement that he's made in your life. When God speaks into your life a word, abiding means that you do not cast away that word for something else. That you stick to it. Even unto death, I hold on to this word. I will not let it go. That's where you are abiding. And God fulfills his word to you when you and I do that. So Paul says in 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 18, this is my second phase of landing. I'm getting close to the landing strip. 1 Timothy 1, 18. Paul gives charge. He says, this charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, the prophetic word that were declared over you, that thou by them, those prophetic words, might war a good warfare. You take a hold of the word that God gave to you and you use it to hammer the head of the devil. Have good sense. God said, I am blessed and highly favored. What part of good and highly favored don't you understand, you fool? God said, I am blessed and highly favored. What part of good and blessed don't you understand? You enforce what God said. Are you listening? You don't panic. Why are you panicking? For what? Panic is going to help you? No. So you hold steadfast to the promise of God. The cost of not doing so is very expensive. Judges 16, the book of Judges 16. Now my wheels are getting very close to the landing strip. Praise the Lord. Judges 16. Verse 20. A man called Samson, been called by God, anointed by God. He's doing extraordinary things. But certain things are happening in his life, and at another time I will spend time talking about Samson. But this is where many times we'll get confused. He's a Nazarite, is he not? A Nazarite is not supposed to touch dead things. Yeah? But what was his first, one of the first major miracles that happened in his life? He takes the dead carcass, the jawbone, and he defeats the enemy. And he thinks, I can get away with anything. I'm so blessed and highly favored. Mistake. It always comes to bite. That good things are happening in your life when you are living wrong does not mean safety. Oh, things can be going perfectly okay, and whatever it is that you're doing is wrong, it's evil, but you're still getting blessed. Don't fool yourself. Jesus said to some people, get away from me, I don't know you. Say, wait. What do you mean you don't know me? I heal the sick in your name. I cast out demons in your name. And miracles happened. Say, get away from me, I don't know you. How is that possible? That's the mistake of living an alternative life. Thinking that you are okay because you are blessed. So, Pastor, why are you talking about this? I'm saying answered prayers, that's a good thing. And yes, God will bless and God will minister. But answered prayers is not just enough. Not if you are not continuing in the Word of God. God is very patient. So then she said, the Philistines upon thee, Samson. Because at this time, Samson, after he'd gone through different lies, is now laying out the secret to his power, the locks on his head. He said, he awoke out of his sleep and said, I will go out as other times before and shake myself. And he wist not, he did not know that the Lord was departed from him. How is it that the Lord will depart from you and you don't know it? And as verse says, but the Philistines took him. He's now powerless. The Philistines took him. and put out his eyes. What did they do? They put out his eyes. First thing that goes is vision. When you cease to have the ability to see, you cannot continue to have answered prayers. I had spoken a prophetic word over a particular family many years ago. I told them the time of their blessing. When this happens, God is going to bless you. And sure enough, when that happened, everything changed for them. Things exploded because the word of God is still true. And I saw this person, one of them, recently. And they were telling me about how things were going well for them. I said, praise the Lord. The Lord did say, didn't he? I said, yes. I remember that prophetic word. You gave it to us. And it's happening exactly just like you said. I said, yes. And after I just finished making mention of that to them and they confirmed, the Lord says, okay, that blessing, that prophetic word, is its lifetime is about to run off. If they don't repent from what they did, there will be no continuation of that blessing. And I walked away, my head bowed down. I didn't tell them. Why you tell somebody that blessing that you were just celebrating just now? Sorry, it's about to expire. What kind of a mess is that? You know, many times people come and get the blessing and say, I got it. You got it. It's going to be spent. You fill your gas tank. It will give you power to run. And then it will go empty if you don't keep on filling it. Just get a dab. That's not enough. You've got to continue in my word. Abide in my words. Then you'll know the truth, and the truth will then set you free or make you free. His eyes gone. Can't see. You lose vision when you play with sin. You lose foresight. You lose discernment. You lose the things that are necessary for you to continue to receive the blessings of God. It's about continuing to receive it. It's not just that I'm blessed. It's about being blessed and continually being blessed because you abide in him and his word abides in you. He says, and they brought him down to Gaza and bound him with fetters of brass. Limitation. And finally, and he did grind in the prison house. What does that mean? When you grind in the prison house, you're playing the role of the donkey that is meant to move around and crush the wheat, the bread, and bring food. So now what is he doing? Samson, mighty Samson, who failed to continue with the word of God, is now producing food and feeding his enemies. Prayer is important, extremely important. But more than having an answer to prayer is recognizing the relationship that you have with God, that he brings you in and you can talk with him and he can talk with you and you can partner with him. When you lose that, you've lost everything. You've lost everything. So never lose that. Amen? And with those words, I stop. not because I'm done. But we stop somewhere, amen? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. So please, child of God, abide. God wants to deal with us in a very personal way. May His glory be manifested in all of our lives. Amen.